Hello there, we're the One House House of the Rocky Nuhu. Understand that God does and speaks through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's a privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you ready this morning? Are you ready this morning? Is God still in the story? Are you sure it's in the details? Are you sure it's going to end for good? All right. Hallelujah. This morning we are still in the Easter story and we are still talking about the cross. And between today and next Sunday, I'll be dealing with the subject matter of discharged and acquitted. There are many Bible verses I won't be able to read for time's sake. Like I said, we have a graduation ceremony. We have a lot to do this morning, so I'll just just touch it here and there and get out of your face. But for the purpose of bringing us into the word, Matthew 27, 24, as you rise on your feet. Matthew 27, 24, as you rise on your feet. Matthew 27, 24 and 25. Matthew 27, 24, 25. Everybody, two, go. When Pilate saw that it could prevail nothing. I'm waiting for your voice. Now let's take it again from the beginning. Two, go. When Pilate saw that it could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You guys sort it out. Next verse. And the people answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. I wish they had ended it on His blood be on us. I don't know why they decided to sentence their children, born and unborn, into trouble that the children did not cause. This morning I want to declare over somebody who is dealing with a problem you didn't cause, a problem you don't know about, a problem you don't have any contribution in. You only woke up and discovered that everybody around you is going through the same problem. I want to declare, by the power of the resurrection, you are discharged and acquitted. Amen. I said discharged and acquitted. Amen. I said discharged and acquitted. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Speak to us, reach out to us, bless us, and change our story. And not just our story, but the story of our various families. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Shout a living amen. Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I know that all across Pentecostal circles, a lot of people do not believe that we should talk about things like this in church. Because they say that once you are born again, you don't have any problem whatsoever. But if you have lived long enough, and you have done ministry long enough, you will know, ladies and gentlemen, that the word called deliverance is scriptural. Because what is deliverance? Please give me my slide. It's simply taking delivery of everything Jesus purchased by his death, his burial, and his resurrection, period. That's deliverance, taking delivery, collecting it. What's deliverance? It's simply enforcing the victory of the cross that he won for us. That's all. Victory of the cross, that's deliverance. And please, it's important as we mature in the Lord to understand there's always a difference between positional liberty and possessing liberty. There's always a difference. It's all over scriptures that there's a difference between positional liberty and taking possession of your liberty. And all the way back in Deuteronomy 2:24, please give it to me. Deuteronomy 2:24, this principle was already established. Deuteronomy 2:24, please give it to me. It says, rise you up, take your journey, pass over the river Arnon. Behold, everybody read the next thing with me. Go, one, two, go. I have, king of Heshbon, stop there. He said, I have given it. I have given into your hand this guy called the king of the Amorites. Okay? The king of Heshbon and the king of Sion, the king of the Amorite and the king of Heshbon in his land. Now, but read the next thing with me from begin. Everybody, two, go. Begin to do what? I can't hear you. Begin to do what? Possess it and do what? But I thought you said you have given him to me. You've given it to me already. What am I contending? What am I possessing again? Ladies and gentlemen, we are saying, you know, all through scripture, you will see that there's a difference between positional liberty and actual liberty. So, the Bible says we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is that true? So, every one of us, we are blessed. Is that true? Absolutely true. But please notice it's in heavenly places, not in earthly places. So, you have a responsibility to download it from heavenly places to earthly places. Is anybody hearing me? Forever, oh Lord, your word is settled where? Not on earth. Not on earth. It's in heaven. You have a responsibility to download it from heaven, right, to the earth. Is that okay, somebody? Titus 1 and 2, 11. It said, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. In other words, the grace for salvation has appeared to everyone. Everybody can be saved. Question, is everybody saved? Come on, talk to me. Is everybody saved? No, everybody is not. The grace has appeared to all men, but it takes intentionality. It takes action to be saved. The grace may be with you. It may be in front of you. You may be seeing it every day until you do something about the grace. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no liberty and there is no salvation. Please understand that just saying it is written looks great. But understand that when it comes to warfare, it's more than it is written. It is written has to do with trial temptations. But when it comes to the issue of warfare, you must be able to enforce. There's a place in the scripture for from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent takes it by force. The enemy we are dealing with is an eternally stubborn enemy. His name is Satan. He is stubborn. You know, when I read in the scripture that he came to tempt Jesus and left him for a season, I said, you need a fear. I mean, if I were Satan, I would look at Jesus and say, I will tempt everybody apart from you. But even after Jesus overcame, he only left for a season. You know what he simply said? Don't worry, you beat me now, but they come back. That's how stubborn the man is. Is anybody hearing me? And that is the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, you must know the difference. This is the reason why the Bible says, stand fast. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty whereby Christ has set you free. You must stand fast. Ephesians puts it this other way, put that picture for me. Having done all, stand. There's a place to stand. Don't sit down and say, well, it is written, I am free. No, it doesn't work like that. Enforce your freedom. If you don't enforce your freedom and walk in the liberty he has called you into, ladies and gentlemen, you will be like a man that finally got a court judgment to recover your house in GRA. You got the court judgment and then you went to celebrate. After celebration, you went to sleep, hoping that the man will pack out. 15 years later, that man will still be in the occupation of your house, true or false? You get a court judgment, that is, it is written. What's the next thing you do? You carry the court belief. You carry two policemen. You carry 10 agbero. Come on, are we still in church? You wait for 5 a.m. when the tenants are snoring. By the time they are opening their eyes, window has gone, door has gone, carpet has gone, the roof of the house is over. By the time they are asking, what is happening? You have finished disfiguring the house. They have no choice but to pack out. You carry padlock your gates. You wait for 1 month for them not to come back. Then you start renovation. True or false? That's the only way to collect your house in Nigeria. Court judgment is a useless piece of paper in your hand if it's not enforced. Please talk to me, somebody. Armed robber came to your house. And as he said, your money or your life. You look at him and say, they didn't tell you I'm a lawyer. And you reach out for your criminal code. Section 25, paragraph 2. Line 4 says armed robbery is a criminal offense. Is it that you don't know armed robbery is a criminal offense? If that armed robber was not planning to beat you before, for your stupidity, he will drop his gun, give you the beating of your life before he collect what he wants to collect and go away. See, Satan knows the truth, but he doesn't live in the truth. He doesn't respect the truth. Until you are smart enough to enforce that truth, he has no regard for your truth. That's why Jesus gave a parable of a man who has a judge that does not fear God and does not respect man. Satan is like that. He has no regard for God. He has no respect for man. If you don't enforce, you are on your own. Are you hearing me, somebody? Gentlemen, we don't have much of a time because of this graduation and all that. But just 3 quick things I need you to know. I was saying at the first service that when it comes to the issue of been discharged and acquitted. In the first service, I dealt with what I titled, been discharged and acquitted from captivity from your ancestral inheritance. But in this service, I'm going to be dealing with something quite different. I'll be dealing with discharged and acquitted from captivity that has to do with your territory or your location, with a territory or a location. Everybody say after me, territory, say location. Say territory, say location. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's important I talk about this because we live in a time where a lot of people walk in ignorance. Christians, I've seen in this Enugu state, I have seen a commissioner of land die. After we warned him and said, I called him, I said, this office you entered, I hear that this office is a tough place. Oh, please, better, he was not a believer. Doesn't go to church. He laughed, and we laughed away, and we walked away. We're in a restaurant eating food inside presidential hotel. I said, this office, I hear that this place is a tough place. Oh, better get yourself close to God. Oh, he laughed about it and walked away. We buried him that year. Because a lot of people don't know that what you call office is somebody's altar that was there before you. You think it's an office. It's not an office. It's somebody's shrine. You don't know what that person did before you enter there. You sit down there. You get paralyzed in right leg. You go from one hospital to the other. The next thing, they're carrying your corpse. That's why we're dealing with captivity that has to do with location or territory. Because it's so important. Is anybody hearing me? Discovering the root of a problem will change the texture, or the way you deal with the root will affect the outcome of the fruit of that problem. True or false? Somebody answer me, true or false. And please understand this. That's why Proverbs 26 verse 2 says, it says, as the bird by wandering and as the swallow by flying, the curseless shall not come. So every time you see a fruit, there is something powering it. There's a curse underneath it. I like the way TPT puts it. The TPT translation says, TPT, how did he put it now? Give it to me up there. An undeserved curse will be powerless to harm you. It may flutter over you like a bird, but if there's no cause for it, it will find no place to rest. So every time you see certain manifestations of attack, something is sponsoring it. There is a C-A-S-U-S-E that is sponsoring it. The curse you are seeing is sponsored by something else. Pastor, how do you know, or how do you locate that there is a curse in a territory, a vicinity, a house, a land, an office, and so on? Number one, when you notice there is a problem there, three things happen when you don't locate the roots. Number one, three things happen. You spend an entire lifetime fighting the wrong enemy. Wasting your time. Number two, you keep repeating the action that reinforces the bondage. You keep repeating it over and over and over and over and over. You know, in the first service, I was sharing about, you know, a very interesting story about a young girl that used to be in this church many, many years ago who had come in. Somebody brought her to my office once and said, this girl went to a prayer house. And in that place she went to, after visiting the gentleman there, she started having this dream where people are beating and beating and beating all the time, and that she needed deliverance. I called her, I prayed with her, she got free, and that girl became a very, you know, exciting member of our church, doing very well, joined housekeeping department, bubbling, was all over the place. And she was so, so good that, you know, she was all over the place, and I thought everything was fine. Now, I did not know that she started dating this married man. And having dated the man, she needed to do something to hold the man because the man was really taking care of her. So she returned back to that same place where she visited before, and the problem started. I didn't know all this until news got to me that she was running mad on the street. I said, no, it's not possible. And I sent for her, and they brought her. She came in, and I said, the only question I asked her, did you go back to that place? She said, Pastor, I'm very sorry, but I went back there. And I asked her, I said, now, are you willing for me to pray for you so you can stop this thing you are doing? He said, oh, that she's already told them that she doesn't want to have anything to do with church any longer. That she's actually left church. She's no longer a part of this church. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, cut a long story short, she walked away. The mother flew in, all the came in all the way from Warri, trying to see what she could do and so on. Anyway, cut a long story short, they took her from one native doctor to another native doctor. Whether that girl is alive or not, I don't know. But there was a strange thing that happened a few years later. Now she was totally, completely mad. She had moved from that beautiful girl in church to a very tiny looking, dirty looking, scrunchy looking human being. And she came to, how she located this, because this happened in Presidential. How she located this particular church, I don't know. And one day I was told there's a mad girl outside. I said, are you kidding me? That she said she wants to see you. I said, okay, let me see the mad girl. I came out and I saw her. She said she came back, that there was a seed she sowed many years ago, and she wants to collect the seed back. I'm not kidding you. I said, how much was it? She mentioned it. I said, count the money and give her. They counted it and gave her. And I said, Satan is very wicked. I said, even the little seed that would have spoken for her to preserve her, Satan decided, let there be nothing that will stop him when he wants to finish her. Let him collect the seed back. That's the last I saw her. I saw her a couple of times on social media, people saying that they saw her in Kaduna or Kano or somewhere. Whether she's alive or dead, I don't know. But when I called the mother last, I said, how is she? He said, well, Pastor, I cannot die. I have other children to look after. So I've tried my best, and there's nothing we can do. If you do not know the roots, you keep going back to the same place. That will make the thing continue to come to you. But that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Number three, if you do not know the roots, you will ignore the simple keys that will give you release. You will ignore the keys that will give you release. Ladies and gentlemen, let us concentrate this morning on the subject matter of being discharged and acquitted from captivity tied to a location. Captivity tied to a location. Are you still there? Please talk to me. Are you still there? In the first service, I spoke about captivity that comes from an ancestral inheritance. And I was sharing something very important in the first service. I said that my father, growing up, anytime he's drunk, my father, in his drunkenness, never missed a detail to tell me about how that my mother was a student from Nana College, Warri. It was a teacher training college at the time, who came with a friend on a weekend. He was drunk on the weekend, and in his drunken state, he raped her. She got pregnant, and having been pregnant, she said, I'm a student. I can't deal with pregnancy. I don't need a baby. She did everything in the world to terminate the pregnancy. She would drink all manner of concoction. And eventually, this gentleman refused to go. At some point, my father actually traveled to the village to go and see my mother's parents who live in the village to tell them, listen, I'm a rich man. I'm a big man. I can look after this baby. Warn your daughter not to kill herself because she's drinking everything drinkable just to terminate this pregnancy. Gentlemen, when I was born, it meant nothing to me. But by the time I became a child of God, I realized that we're dealing with something that if I don't handle it, because you see, I'm looking at my ancestry. I'm looking at where I'm coming from. So I'm coming, number one, from a background of perversion, rape, two, alcohol, and three, rejection. Because an attempt to remove the baby is called rejection. And I knew that I can't wish it away and say I'm born again. So, gentlemen, I was very intentional. The first three, was even before I finally gave my life to Christ, I made up my mind. I said, you know what? This alcohol thing, we're not going to perpetuate it. I saw my father died of alcohol. My elder brother died of liver cirrhosis, sponsored by alcohol. And once I got born again, I said, never. It ends with him. 3 years. I did not taste it before I fully gave my life to Christ. And I said, you know what? Concerning the perversion thing, young Christian, deeper life, I went to God and I said, God, if I ever rape a woman, I die on the bed. I said, kill me while I'm on top of the bed. Let me not have the privilege of repenting after raping the woman. I said, let me die there. I said, I will not carry this and give to my children. Number three. On the subject matter of rejection, I had to intentionally Every scripture that has to do with what I am in him, I am the righteousness of God. I am the this of God. I am the that of God. I made them like a song. I had to keep establishing the fact that rejection has nothing to do with me. I am accepted in the beloved. I am loved by all. I'm the head and not the tail. I had to do all that so I can fight the spirit of rejection. That was why when my girlfriend during youth service left me, you all know my story. I almost died. Listen, people leave people every day. For me, it was a different thing. It was more than a girl leaving you. For me, it had everything to do with rejection. I said, what offense did I commit? You all know the story. Youth copper, Alawi, 700 naira. Chambers, I was working in 300 naira. Combined together is how much? 1,000 naira. I bought birthday gift, what, close to 3,500 to 5,000 naira. Today, I don't know where I got the money. I know I didn't steal it. Only to show up as the husband man. I showed up like this in Akure. And she looked at me and said, sorry, Ilori, she looked at me and said, I don't want to take photograph with you. I almost died, man. I left Ilori with malaria. You know what's called malaria? This was not sponsored by mosquito. I was shaking like this. As I entered the bus back to Makodi, I was sick all the way down. Is anybody hearing me? So when I proposed to my wife, she said yes. I quickly married. Are you still there, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still there, somebody? Ladies and gentlemen, that was for first service. But we're dealing now with captivity tied to locations. Genesis chapter 28 has an interesting story about a gentleman called Jacob. He had collected the brother's birthright. He was running. Normal journey. But he got to this ore. Permit me to use the word ore. Where he had to stop to sleep. And as he slept in that place, the scripture recorded. He saw a strange thing. A ladder that went all the way to heaven. Angels ascending and descending. And then while he was still wondering, what's this all about? You see, he had just taken a stone, put under his head to sleep. The next thing he knew was that God was speaking. I'm the God of your father Abraham. What you don't know is that this place where you are, your father raised an altar here many years ago. Based on your father's altar, I will bless you in this place you are going. And God began to speak to him. He woke up from that place and said, wow, God is in this place. And I didn't know. I thought it was an ordinary ore. I just stopped to sleep. I thought it was just a place I stopped to sleep. He said, this is indeed the house of God and the gate of heaven. And the Bible says, and he poured wine and oil on that stone, realizing that that stone is not an ordinary place. Now, can I prophesy to somebody? There are some good things your parents have done. There are some altars they have done with charity. There are people they sponsor to university. There are people they built houses for. There are some orphans that had no future. Your father trained through school. And most of our fathers have died without benefiting from them. Can I declare over you the blessings of that altar? The blessings of that altar. The good of that altar. I declare, may you enjoy them in the name of Jesus. I said, may you enjoy them in the name of Jesus. All the great things your father did that did not enjoy the harvest of them, both you and your children's children will benefit from them in the name of Jesus. Can you shout a living amen? Amen. Gentlemen, what is true of good altars is also true of bad altars. Are you still with me? Talk to me, are you still with me? As a youth copper, I served in Benue State. I had an uncle who was selling gin in a place called Wanune. People from Benue State know the place. It's on your way to Gboko from Makurdi. And trust me, as a copper, you're always broke. So when I'm broke, I just enter the nearest bus. I go to his place. He gives me food. He gives me everything. And then he will tell me stories. And one of the days, he said, I need to share this story with you. He said, before the Civil War, and all they sell in that one is gin, what they call ogogoro. You know what I'm talking about. That's all they sell there, all of them. And it's a very big market for selling of gin. He said before the Civil War, he said we realized that some of our fellow traders were cheating us because they would sell on credits to customers and make more profit. So at some point, we all came together in the association and we all brought a native doctor. The native doctor buried live cow, about seven of them. and everybody entered a covenant, no sale on credit. If you sell on credit, you die of a swollen stomach. Now listen to this. My uncle said, not long after they entered this covenant, Nigerian Civil War broke out. Everybody scattered and everybody dispersed. He said, Civil War ended. People came back, including new people who were not in the business before. They just noticed that every month they are burying somebody of a swollen stomach. Swollen stomach. Swollen stomach. Swollen stomach. Until one of them, who was an elderly man, quickly ran and said, I remember that thing we did before the Civil War. I said, listen, do you know that this thing that is going on is not ordinary? They had to go, the native doctor himself is dead. He died during the Civil War. So they had to resurrect another native doctor who had to return back to the place and did some sacrifices. So that, because the innocent new people don't know that there's a covenant not to sell on credit. Is anybody hearing me this morning? And that was how. Eventually, they did sacrifices and so on and so forth and all that. Now, Pastor Debo was the one that shared this story. Pastor Debo said there was a... Please listen to this very interesting story. He said, there was a lady, she had a supermarket. And in that supermarket, you know supermarket now, little girls selling, they were stealing. Stealing was normal. The lady got tired. She would replenish the shop, they would steal it down. She would replenish it, they would steal it down. She got tired. She was an unbeliever. She got a native doctor. I said, Oga, Baba, come and do something here. Anybody that steals pim from me will die. Native doctor came, did the juju, hanged it in the roof. Stealing stopped 100%. Not even Satan stole inside the place. But that's not the story. Ladies and gentlemen, our business started growing. And eventually, she got money. There's a land directly opposite the supermarket. She bought it and built a bigger supermarket. Another woman opened a supermarket in that place. From opposite, she was observing that woman was burying a staff every month. A staff every 2 months. A staff every 3 months. She ran to Pastor Adeboye and said, Daddy, I need help. So what's the problem? He said, the shop opposite me, the woman is burying a staff almost every two months, and I know why. Narrated the whole story and said, coincidentally, the woman herself who owns that supermarket actually worships in the same redeem. Please, Daddy, if there's any way you can call her and tell her so that prayer can be offered and she can stop burying her staff. I don't know where you are. Any location you are, shop you are, office you are, that is swallowing the people that work there, by this anointing, I declare that root, that curse, that thing that is sponsoring premature death or sponsoring evil is uprooted in the name of Jesus. It's uprooted in the name of Jesus. I said it's uprooted in the name of Jesus. Can I hear a louder amen? A preacher went to preach, this is in the U.S., for another pastor. He has a policy, he doesn't stay in hotels. He said he doesn't like hotels, that hotels are filthy places. So normally you will give him, a member of the church will house him, somebody who has a good house, good accommodation and all that. So on this particular day, he was housed by a member of the church who is a medical doctor, married to a Swedish wife from Sweden. And this woman and this man of God was given a room there, and he was there. And he said one evening, he lied down on the bed, was speaking in tongues. And as he was speaking in tongues, he said the roof of the house opened. He just saw a vision. A white woman pointed gun at him. He screamed, jumped up. I said, blood of Jesus, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And he started praying and said, Lord, what does this mean? And the Lord said, call the owner of the house. He called the owner of the house and said, sorry, is there anything about this house? He said, no, it's a house. I just bought it. It's a new house. I bought it. I moved in here with my wife XYZ number of years ago and so on and so forth. And he said, no. He said, do me a favor. He said, can you talk to your neighbors who live around here and find out if there's anything about this house? I know you say you bought it new, but just find out. The next day, the man called the direct opposite neighbor, another white man, and said, sorry, don't be angry. Is there anything about this house you know that I don't know? The man said, but I thought you know. I said, I don't know. He said, that The former owners of this house, who sold it after this incident I'm about to tell you, he said that that man, the wife of the man that was living in that house, committed suicide, shot herself dead. And that the incident was such a terrible scandal that the man got angry, sold the house, and packed out. Sorry, first of all, he renovated the house like a brand new house and then sold it to this medical doctor who just moved in. And by the time this man came back, as he was narrating the story to the man of God, the wife started crying, his own wife, and said, "Sorry, honey, what I didn't tell you is that I've attempted suicide 3 times inside this house and you didn't know about it." He said, "I attempted the first time, I brought the gun, put it on my head to kill myself." What they didn't know was that the spirit of suicide was moving. No, the woman said, he said, "Each time I try to kill myself, I'm wondering what is the problem. I can't find any problem, but there's not that urge to take my life." I speak over somebody who is battling the spirit of suicide or dealing with something that hangs around the vicinity where you are. In the name that is above every other name, that spirit is arrested. That spirit is arrested. That spirit is arrested. And you are discharged and acquitted. I said you are discharged and acquitted. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shout a loud amen, somebody. I wish I had plenty of time today. But I always tell a lot of our brethren in church, I say to them, that land you just bought, you just want to go and build, God has given you money. Oga, pray first, so. Because you are buying a land. For you, it's a new land. There's no land that is new land. You don't know the hands that have been through. You don't know the community that was violated by a powerful politician who collected land from them. The community are still bleeding till tomorrow. And they are cursing and cursing. God will punish anybody that enter this land. You have no idea. You bought it from the fourth owner. You don't buy land. You enter inside. You don't know if a widow was sacrificed on that land. You don't know anything that happened in that land. You have even no idea if that land was an altar before somebody bought it and handed over to you. Don't just buy land and start building. Sir, do what you have to do as a priest over the land. You may be buying more than land. You may be buying trouble. Haven't you seen people who packed into a house with 3 cars? 2 years later, husband and wife are trekking, jobless, eating from hand to mouth. Is anybody hearing me? The Bible told us about the Gibeonites. It's a long story. I don't have time to share. But let me just do. Please forgive me. 2 Samuel 21 is the story. But this is what happened. Suddenly, David realized there was famine in the land. And no rain. Farmers are crying. Food became scarce. The few available, very expensive. There was drought everywhere. David said, is it offering I give? Is it my tithe at the PM? God, I'm a worshiper. The other day, it's 6 hours of worship. What is going wrong here? What's happening here? And the Bible said, God replied him and said, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the guy whose office you occupy. You didn't ask question when you took his office. His name is King Saul. He said, this man called King Saul, he said he violated a covenant with the Gibeonites. Gentlemen, if you go back to the book of Joshua, the Gibeonites were a small tribe who had no defense. They had no strong army. They knew that based on the kind of warfare going on, they would swallow them up. They pretended to be like a group of people who were stranded, like some poor people stranded. They didn't mention that they are from Gibeah. And guess what? They just came to King Joshua. They came to Joshua. And said to Joshua, please, sir, we're just a group of poor people. Help us. We want to enter a covenant with you so you protect. It was after Joshua had signed a covenant with them. Joshua realized that these are Gibeonites. Unfortunately, the covenant was signed. He said, no problem. We'll protect you. Saul became king. Remember, Saul was the first king of Israel who spent 3 years in power without prayer. The Bible says it was on his 3rd year he raised an altar to God. Doesn't consult God. Doesn't fight. He was the most unspiritual king Israel ever had. That's why they say, go and utterly destroy Amalek. He did what he wanted to do. And they say, obedience is better than sacrifice. Saul did not bother to ask any question. Saul saw the Gibeonites as an enemy and began to slaughter them. Now David entered power.
Didn't ask who is this predecessor. This promotion you got that they move you to this department. You didn't find out the man that was there before. What and what has he done in this office? David began to have a wonderful time until suddenly there was famine. There was drought. There was problem. He went to God. God said, it's because of the Gibeonites. The man who handed over to you in power slaughtered them. And if you do not settle that matter, this drought is not going to be stopped by prayer, by shouting, or by screaming. You must settle it. That is how he called the Gibeonites and said, please, what do we do? They said, we don't have any problem. Just give us 7 of the sons of Saul. We'll use them and hang them on our streets. He said, that's the only thing that will appease us. Guess what? David had to surrender to them. Small as they are, covenant is covenant. I don't know about it. How many of you know, even when you forget the covenant, he continues to speak? That was why the one that happened to Jacob, that one in Bethel, in Luz, L-U-Z. See, Jacob was not aware of the covenant. But your forgetting the covenant your father did does not stop the traffic from taking place. Please talk to me, somebody. Covenants are not vacated by forgetting. They are vacated intentionally by power. Are you still there, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still there? That is how the Gibeonites were at peace. But the one that touched me mostly as I wrap up, gentlemen, is the one that happened in a place that is called Jericho. Everybody say Jericho. I can't hear you say Jericho. For the last time, say Jericho. Joshua had led the children of Israel and marched around the city of Jericho and conquered it. The Bible recorded to us, on the day of the conquest, Joshua opened his mouth and said, cursed be Jericho, and cursed be anyone who tries to rebuild this city. He said, anybody who tries it, as he lays the foundation, his first son will die. He said, by the time he's erecting the gates, his last son is dead. Please notice, he's not saying the first and the last son will die. He's saying he will first bury his first son, then he will keep burying and burying. By the time the gates are being raised, the last son is dead. Guess what? One multi-billionaire from Jericho, his name is Ayel, and the Bible calls him the king. The guy got up and said, nonsense. What are you talking about? I have money. I can't build on my land. To hell with you. The Bible says, as he laid the foundation, his first son died. And then that's how he was bearing one child upon another child upon another child, until by the time he was erecting the gates, his last son died, according to the word of the man of God, Joshua. But you would have thought that's the end of the story. The city was rebuilt, but then the inhabitants of the city began to notice, we have a problem. So the moment Elisha took over the mantle of Elijah and returned back to Jericho, they called him. They said, sir, the Bible said the sons of the prophets that live in Jericho called him and said, we have a problem. The situation of this land is beautiful, as you can see. Rainfall, perfect. Sunshine, perfect. Terrain, topography, demographics, perfect. Everything about geography says this is the best land that we have. That agriculture should do better in this land than any other land. Say, but we have a problem. He said, we notice that this land is unproductive and anything you grow in it doesn't grow. One translation says that the water of the land causes miscarriage. Another translation says things die as they enter the land. Everything looks perfect. Everything looks beautiful. But guess what? There's a mystery they cannot understand. I want to pray for somebody for the last time this morning. I don't know where it is. I don't know what it is. But I want to declare over you, whatever is that thing, sponsoring unproductivity, sponsoring barrenness, sponsoring abortion, around where you are, in the name, that's the reason why we are celebrating the cross, because the cross puts an end to every curse. I declare over you, by the power of the risen Christ, by the power of the resurrection, let that curse be broken. 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 Let that mystery be reversed. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And Elisha said to them, give me a new cruse. Put salt inside it. And he took the new cruse, took the salt. The Bible says he went to the source of the river that flows into Jericho. The Bible says sprinkled the salt on it. And he declared from henceforth. Please notice, Joshua had to take a prophetic action. Had to take on a prophetic action to stop the cycle of miscarriage, cycle of death, cycle of unproductivity and barrenness where people struggle and labor and they don't see the fruit of their labor. And I like the way they put it. They say, look, see, this city, as you can see, is beautiful. This girl, as you can see, she's educated. She made it first class. She's beautiful. She has everything except the fact that any day a man mistakenly says, I love you, that's the end of it. This guy is sharp. He came out the best graduating student, except that we cannot tell why money cannot stay in his hand. This guy is the most intelligent. He taught us how to pass exam in final year in Esut. But now everybody has moved on. We are looking at his life. He is from hand to mouth. What is wrong? On Wednesday, we have announced it here. Wednesday service, I'm not teaching. We're just going to be carrying out some dangerous prophetic action. Not just concerning family baggages, but concerning territorial baggages. That's why I said, any territory around your house where you are living, and you suspect some, and I'll show you how to know there is something that is not right about this place. I'll show you that as I wrap up. Please listen to this. Pick a little sand from that place. Come with it to church. And then with another little, just little, just a tiny piece, get a little salt and come with it. I want to pray some prayers on Wednesday. I just want to just reach out prophetically and do some things because, see, Jesus did not die in vain. The Bible says this parable shall no longer be said, that the fathers ate sour grape and the children's teeth is set on edge. He said, but the fathers will pay for their sin. Everybody will die for their sin. You will not suffer for what you don't know. In the mighty name of Jesus. Did I read in this service, his blood be upon us and upon our children? Did I read it? But I didn't say anything about it. The war going on in Gaza today is because of that cause. The 6 million Jews executed by Hitler was because of that cause. I wish they ended his blood be on us. Why will they include the children? Was it Hezekiah? I don't know. There was a particular king who misbehaved. God wanted to punish him. And he begged God. And when God spared you, you know the next thing he said? God now said, okay, you won't suffer it in your lifetime, but it will happen after you say, thank God it's my children that will suffer it. Anything you don't know about, you won't carry it on your head. I said you will not carry it on your head. You will not carry it on your head. Their blood be upon them. It won't be upon you. It won't be upon your children. It will not be upon your children's children. In the name of Jesus. Shout amen, somebody. I need to get out of your face for time's sake. I need to get out of your face. Ladies and gentlemen, very quickly for the sake of time. For the sake of time. Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor, how do I get out of this captivity? Permit me to say this very quickly. Please, permit me to say this very quickly. There's a story in the Bible about how that after Israel was taken captive to Babylon, they brought in a group of people who don't know the tradition of Israel and brought them and kept them in the land. Lions began to kill them. Who remembers that story? It's there in the Bible. 2 Kings 17, 24 to 28. Lions began to destroy and kill the people. The king became afraid. They quickly called for the man of God and said, listen, lion is killing people here. What's going on here? And the Bible said, they had to bring the man back. He said, listen, the reason why they are dying is because there's an altar in this place. There's a covenant that powers Israel. There's a lifestyle that sustains people here. These people don't know it. That's why they are dying. They had to import some priests to teach these people the ways of Israel, the values of Israel. That's how they were able to survive in that land. How many of you have noticed that there are villages and communities that no matter how big the python is, it doesn't kill anybody in the village? Come and talk to me, somebody. Why? Because they worship the python. There's a mystery. There's an altar between them and that python. Villagers, it doesn't touch them. If an outsider comes, he may kill the outsider. But listen to this. Whatever is that mystery that powers evil, death, pain, sorrow, tragedy in that place you're coming from, by the power of the risen Christ, that mystery will end in the name of Jesus. It will end in the name of Jesus. I said it will end in the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, for time's sake, how do you know something is going wrong where you are? When it is prevalent in the land. When that same thing is happening to a lot of people, you know something is wrong. Number two, when you are having when there's a strange atmosphere and there are strange visitations, you close your eye, you are seeing things you can't explain, and so on and so forth. It's a sign something is going wrong in the land. Pastor, Therefore, how do I come out of this captivity? How do we end this captivity? How am I discharged and acquitted on this territory? Ladies and gentlemen, Deuteronomy 11, 24. I close on this note. I want to end in the next few seconds. Deuteronomy 11, 24. Every place whereon the soles of your foot shall tread upon will be what? I said will be what? Everybody say every place. Say every place. I don't care where that territory is. As long as your leg enters it, that place will become yours. I said it will become yours. That's why I said bring sand from that place for me on Wednesday. We're going to consecrate that sand. We're going to pray over that sand. As you return back, pour that sand back in that house. Pour it back in that office. Pour it back on that land. Take it back to your village or whatever. And listen to this. That anointing in this place will follow you down there in the name of Jesus. I said it will follow you back there in the name of Jesus. Shout a living amen, somebody. In closing, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor, how do I go about it? Number one, enter into the consciousness that you are in dominion over the land. As you step in that land, as you return back home, begin to say to yourself, I'm in dominion. In fact, I didn't finish reading that scripture in Deuteronomy, okay? For time's sake, I didn't finish reading it. But that scripture simply says, from the wilderness, blah, 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 verse 25 says, there shall no man be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. Can I prophesy over you? As you return back home, they will be afraid of you. The altar will be afraid of you. I said the territory will be afraid of you. The principalities and powers will be afraid of you. When they see you coming, they will disappear. You return back as the owner of the land, possessor of the land. In the name of the Lord Jesus, shout a living amen, somebody. Amen. Number two, ask the Lord to show you what to do concerning if there's anything he wants you to do. And finally, number three, speak until you notice the atmosphere changing. Keep speaking. Everywhere I've tread upon, I am in possession of it. This land is mine. No power owns this land. Jesus, the earth belongs to the Lord and the fullness thereof. Heaven and earth belongs to him. This land, therefore, I take possession. Keep speaking until you see a shift in the atmosphere. Finally, raise an altar of change on behalf of you and on behalf of your family. Wednesday, we'll go into the details. Rise on your feet. My time is up. Rise on your feet. That office will not swallow you. I said that office will not swallow you. That office will not swallow you. That office will not swallow you. That class will not swallow you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Raise up your right hand and say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. I can't hear you say in the name of Jesus. I am discharged. I'm acquitted from every captivity, from every bondage, from every enslavement that is attached, that is tied to my location. In the name of Jesus. Every captivity tied to my village, tied to my community, tied to my family, tied to my life, I discharge. I'm acquitted. I'm discharged. I'm acquitted. I walk in dominion and in victory in the name of Jesus. I declare today, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I am no longer cursed and I'm not affected by any curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon me. The blessing is upon me. No curse can work for me. I walk in freedom. I walk in liberty. I walk in dominion. Wheresoever the sole of my feet shall tread upon has been given me for a possession. This is my testimony, and I declare it so in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Can you give God praise in the house this morning? Now, while you remain standing, I told him he's going to come and prophesy and speak over us. And in the next few minutes, I'm going to receive Pastor Annie. God has blessed him, particularly anointed him when it has to do with this issue of altar. God has so anointed him and blessed him. And I want him to speak over this house. Please give him 2 minutes and we'll be done. Pastor Annie Kebudu, please come.
Out of my belly, I'll flow rivers. Rivers of living waters. Yeah, la 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 la.
church. He had a brother. He was a twin brother. Identical. The church was a good boy. His twin was a bad boy. After a while, the twin committed murder. I was sent to jail. Condemned to die. Condemned to die. On the day of execution, his brother, the judge, dressed up in his regalia as a judge and gained access into the prison and entered his brother's cell and asked the warden to shut the door. And he told his brother, "I want to set you free." He removed his garment and asked the brother to wear the regalia of the judge. And he took and put on the regalia of a prisoner and asked the brother to knock at the door. He knocked at the door. They opened the door. He told him to walk. Don't look back. So when they saw him wearing the regalia, they thought he was a judge. And he went away. He escaped. And the judge who now put on the uniform, the prisoner, was executed. So when finally they found out that they executed the wrong person, under the law, they cannot rearrest that person. Because you cannot punish a crime twice. The punishment that we so richly deserved, Jesus took it. What is on the cross is your warrant of arrest. Not just your warrant of arrest. The law that empowered the crime. If there's no law, there's no crime. So, what am I saying? Curses come because the law was broken. Our God just told us, Christ has redeemed us from every curse of the law. It is when we don't understand this consciousness that the devil enters. Having disarmed principalities and powers. Message Bible said what they have is some authority, 419 authority. When we move, like what our guy is talking about, territorial, when we move from where we were initially, from Benidorm Hotel to the city center, man, my yoga, for 2 weeks, I didn't know our church. The hall we rented behind us, behind the altar, was another altar. I didn't know. I couldn't preach. We couldn't pray there. We couldn't worship. I said, no, this is unusual. I started praying. I declared 40 days, days of glory. By the time we got to the 21st day, the glory showed up. See, one way to scatter that nonsense in that territory is to invoke the glory. The church that couldn't operate under 6 months, we're doing 3 services there. Because when the glory comes, everything changes. In the name that is above every other name, I invoke the glory of God into your sphere, into your family, into your household, into your place of business, in the name of Jesus Christ. Every territory belongs to Jehovah. Every territory belongs to Yahweh. Therefore, my Father, I ask in the name of Jesus the Christ, let there be an invocation, a penetration, a permeation of your glory in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, in our territories, in everything that pertains to us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Whosoever the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Lift up your hand and declare, I am free indeed. If any man, does he include you? Does he include you? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things, everything from your ancestry
is passed away, and all things are now new, and all things are now of God, which means I have no ancestry apart from my ancestry in Christ. Anything that is not in Christ is not permitted to find expression in my life. Such favor, such authority have all the saints to execute righteous judgment. Today we execute a righteous judgment over your life. Anywhere there's an interloper, anywhere there's a fake person, fake authority in your life, we serve them a quick notice now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, shout glory to Jesus. Do something for me. No. I didn't say clap. No, don't. I said do something for me. Go to at least 21 persons and tell them I am free. I am free indeed. 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 My freedom is in Christ. I am free indeed. Oh my God, I am free indeed. In the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody was sent to me, a lady came to me in the office and told me about the issues she was having in her family. And the man who wanted to marry her was having issues abroad. I said that they said I should pray for them. So after praying for them, after praying for her, I said, call the man. They called the man. I prayed for the man on the phone. When I was done, she did like this. Egone. You get? She did like this what? Egone. Because she understands principles. That nothing goes for nothing. The difference between her and ours is that we don't pay. She's paying for what she got. We're not paying for what we got. We're showing gratitude. That's all we do. We're showing gratitude. You can't buy deliverance. You can't purchase the blood. You can't buy grace. Bible said, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead will do what? Quicken, revitalize you. How much can you pay for that? How much can you pay for that? Quickly, I want you to package an offering for the Lord. An honorable package. Honorable offering for the Lord. I want to take your offering today before I leave. Oga finished us today. See, things started happening in my mind. Labosha. I started remembering. You see, when they tell you that when you are born again, that you don't need deliverance, you say, when you are born again, what is born again is your spirit. Demons don't operate in your spirit. They operate in your soul and flesh. Did they hear me so? If you don't need deliverance because Jesus paid for everything, how come believers are sick? How come believers are hungry and poor? If you don't enforce it, or God explains it, only lawyers can understand it. That is what is called the substantive law and what is called the procedural law. That you have freedom guaranteed under the Constitution, freedom of movement, does not mean that the police cannot arrest you illegally from time to time. And you can go to jail illegally. So when they arrest, even though you have that right enshrined in the Constitution, fundamental human rights, freedom of movement, they can arrest you. But when they arrest you, what do you do? You go and enforce your rights. In deliverance, that's what we'll do, enforce our rights. If you package your offering, stand on your feet quickly. Also, let me take your tithes. Do they come out with the tithes? Come on, tithes, do they come out with the tithes? Okay, please, let me pray over the tithes first. One secret of the tithes is that anything God gives you, have I shared it here before? Everything God created
What will kill that thing is in that thing. You don't know that? Anything God created, look at it. Everything God created, what will kill it is in it. That's why things don't last forever. Because things were created not to last forever, because what will kill it is in it. Likewise, every resource you receive, there's a part of it that will destroy that resource. God says, give me that part. Let's remove death from that resource. So what you have is now holy. You don't kill goat and eat everything. There's a small part of the goat that you cannot touch. If you include it into the meat, it will poison the entire meat. Even if you understand this thing, lift up your tithe. Let me pray over you. Lift up your tithe. If you're paying a tithe, lift up your tithe. The envelope, lift it up. If you're tithe, lift it up. And if you want to make a transfer, please, the account details are there on the screen. Please. If you need more time, take more time. But if you are ready, lift up your right hand up. Say, my Father, in the name of Jesus, I honor you with my tithe. Let my tithe forever speak of my honor, of my worship, of my faith, of my trust, and of my honor towards you and worship. King of glory, let it be used for the work of the kingdom and for the preaching of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church shouted.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.